Actually, a lot of the information I'll be sharing with you tonight is from Brian Tracy, one of our good friends. And Brian Tracy has given seminars in 80 countries. He's taught himself four languages. And he spent 30,000 hours studying about time management and success and personal development. So I want to share a lot of his ideas with you tonight. And whenever you go to a seminar, they always tell you two things. Number one, take good notes. Okay, take good notes. And number two, share these notes or ideas with somebody else within the next 48 hours if you really want to learn it well. Learn this information as if you're going to teach it to someone else. That's what I do. Whenever I listen to a tape or go to a seminar, I take notes with the intention of teaching other people. So you'll be much better at remembering these things if you want to, if you're going to be teaching it to other people. So within the next 48 hours, teach it to somebody else, whether it be your kids, your cat, your dog. Doesn't really matter. Just teach it to somebody else, whether or not they listen. But just the fact that you teach, you will benefit more from that. For example, if you want to learn your faith, teach religious ed. And the more you teach, the more you yourself will learn. So a couple preliminary things. I want to start out with some tips on time management by Brian Tracy. And he says there's four preliminary points to being a good time manager. Number one, you have to desire it. You have to desire to improve your time management abilities and to become good at time management. Number two, make a decision to be a model, an example, a role model of what a good time manager is like. Number three, make a determination to use your time well. Number four, practice self-discipline in this area. So be willing to pay the price to become a good time manager. Discipline, the definition of discipline is doing what you should do, when you should do it, whether you feel like it or not. It's a great definition. Doing what you should do, when you should do it, whether you feel like it or not. So those are the four things. Desire to become a good time manager. Make a decision to be a role model, an example of what good time management is. Determine that you'll use your time well, and be willing to practice the self-discipline that will make you a successful time manager. In fact, I know one priest, Father Hardin, a great Jesuit priest, who made a private vow never to waste any time. Isn't that amazing? A vow that he made to himself, never to waste any time. So according to Brian Tracy, all successful people are good time managers. And he says, time management means life management. He says, winners use their time well, losers waste time. And some people get more done in a day than others get done in a week. So again, he says, the key is good self-discipline, which is the key to success. And so time management is a skill which can be learned and developed. It's not something you're born with. Everyone could become as good a time manager as anybody else. So I want to give you what he calls the 21 principles of good time management. Number one is goals. Have clear, written down goals. He says this is the core of time management. He says if you want to get into the top 3% in any field, you must have written down goals. They have to be on paper, and they should cover three categories. They should cover personal goals, also known as family goals. They should include business goals and should include self-development goals. So personal, family goals, business goals, and personal development or self-development goals. And he gives three preliminary questions that you should ask yourself in determining what your goals are in life, what your core values are. And the first one is, what would you do if you just won $1 million in the lottery? Okay, what would you do if you just won $1 million in the lottery? Now spend some time, not right now, but later on, thinking, what would you do now if you had that? Number two, what would you do if you found out you only had 6 months to live? So you'd be perfectly healthy for the next 6 months, and then after that, you would drop dead. What would you do over the next 6 months? How would you spend your time? Who would you spend your time with? What would you be reading? What would you be doing to prepare yourself to meet God in 6 months. And this really shows you what you truly value in life. Whatever you do in the next 6 months shows you what you really value and care about in life. And number three, what one great thing would you dare to dream if you knew you could not fail? What one great thing would you dare to dream if you knew you could not fail? So these are three questions that can help you in answering what your goals are. And it's interesting, I was just reading there was a 25-year-old study done for Yale University graduates from the 1950s, and there were 3% of these graduates on the time of their graduation had clear written down goals as far as their future and their success and their finances. They were questioned 25 years later, and it was determined that these 3% who had clear written down goals were worth more as far as financially than the other 97% of the people. Okay, that's a powerful statement to show the impact of clear written down goals. So the 3% that had clear written down goals when they graduated from university, 25 years later, they had accumulated more success and financial independence than the other 97% put together. That just shows you the value of clear written down goals. So number two, second point in good time management, is to have an organized plan of action. And this means you take your goal and you write down each step in order to reach that goal. And then try every day to implement some part of it. Always be working towards your goal in an organized plan of action. And Brian Tracy says, if you have a big project, salami it. Just like you can't eat a whole stick of salami just all at one time, you cut it up into little slices, you can eat one bite at a time. He also says, how can you eat an elephant one bite at a time? So it's possible to do a divide and conquer. For example, in the Legion Handbook, there's a statement that every impossibility can be divided up into 39 possible steps. Okay, it's called symbolic action. So you just take one step, do that, and then do the next step, and the next step, and pretty soon an impossible task has been divided up into 39 possible steps. Okay, number three, make daily lists. Brian Tracy says, just making a list will improve your productivity 25% just by making a list, by writing down what you want to do the next day. So he recommends making it the night before. For example, tomorrow, you would make your list for tomorrow tonight before you go to sleep. Write down everything you want to do tomorrow. And he says, if you do it the night before, your subconscious will be working on it as you sleep. He says, if you don't make a list, you can easily get bumped off track as far as how your day will go. Instead of being reactive, as Stephen Covey says, be proactive. Try to take some steps in organizing the day. He says, if you don't make a list, you'll be like a bumper car. You ever ride those little bumper cars? What happens if you take your hands off the wheel? Somebody's going to come and bump you, and you're going to go in any direction that people will bump you. So if you keep your hands on the wheel by making a list and working down your priorities, it can make a big difference. So he says, don't get bumped off track, and that you should write down a prioritized daily task list. And when you accomplish a task, put a check mark next to it. He says, there's no better feeling than a check mark. He says, it feels great to have a check mark that you accomplished a task. If you transfer the task to another day, you put a little arrow and transfer it to the next day in your day timer or in your Franken planner. If the task no longer becomes relevant, you make an X and delete it. And if you delegate it to somebody else, you write a D next to it. So he says it's amazing what people will do for the sense of accomplishment that comes from a check mark. It gives you a little boost of energy. He also says not only should you make a nightly list of what you want to do the next day, but at the end of each week, in preparation for the coming week or the coming month, even the coming year, you should sit down and look over the coming week on Sunday night. And then at the end of that month, look over the coming month of the future month. And then at the end of 1997, look over the coming year. And Jim Rohn says this as well. He says, the further ahead you are looking, the more successful you will be. He says the most successful people have large expanse of time when they're looking over their future. For example, he says the least successful people, like the drunk lying in the gutter, they're not worried about that. They're worried about the next minute of where can they get the next drink, you know, the next bottle. Where he says the most successful people, you know, look over the next week, the next month, the next year, the next decade. Where do they want to be in 3, 5, or 10 years? Okay, number 4 is set priorities. Determine what is relevant and determine what is irrelevant. Again, Stephen Covey has some many very good things to say about this, of setting priorities. There's a principle called the Pareto Principle, which I want to share with you. It was established by a fellow named Pareto in the 1800s. We call it the 80-20 rule, that in a list of 10 things, 20% will be worth 80% of the value, and 80% of the things will only be worth 20% of the value. And he says the 80-20 rule works almost in almost everything. For example, in a parish, 20% of the people do 80% of the work, right? 80% of the people do 20% of the work. In any organization, any company, you have the 80-20 rule. It goes even to finances. 80% of the people, you know, support the church 20%, and 20% of the people support the church 80%. And it goes the same thing with 20% of the population buys 80% of the books in our country. 80% of our population only buys 20% of the books. So you'll find that the 80-20 rule is very very true. For example, a priest spends 80% of his time with 20% of his people, and 20% of his time with 80% of his people. For example, Sunday Mass and homily for the whole 80%. So Brian Tracy says, work on the vital few rather than the trivial many. Work on the 20% that is most vital and important. Jim Rohn says, don't spend major time on minor things, or minor time on major things. He says many people major in the minors and minor in major things. And the key to good time management, according to Brian Tracy, is to always ask yourself the question, what is the most valuable use of your time right now? Ask that question, repeat it. What is the most valuable use of your time right now? To say to yourself, what is the most valuable use of my time right now? When you're driving to work, is it listening to the radio? Or is it spending that time in prayer? Or listening to good tapes? Or developing your education? What is the most important thing you could do? Watch TV or get out a good book and read? Or spend time with your family? Maybe it's to spend time with your family. So ask yourself, is what I'm doing right now a top priority? What impact will this task have on my future? As Earl Nightingale says, do what is goal-achieving rather than tension-relieving. It's very easy when you're driving down Route 95 to say, well, I just want to relax, turn on the radio, listen to top 40 music. That's tension-relieving, but is it goal-achieving? Will that help you obtain your goals? How will that affect you in 5 years if that's all you did for the next 5 years is listen to the top 40 music? But I guarantee it, if you listen to a tape every day, or the Bible on cassette tape, or if you listen to tapes on how to remember names and faces, or how to get along with difficult people, or how to learn vocabulary, that will move you towards your goals and help you achieve your goals. So that's goal achieving rather than tension relieving. Number 5, the 5th principle of good time management is concentration. Concentration. And this means concentrating single-mindedly on one thing at a time until the job is finished. Concentrating on one thing at a time until the job is finished. It's called single-handling things. And Brian Tracy says that if you have a project or a task, let's say you have to write a letter, if you pick up the letter and read it over and then put it down and pick it up a week later and read it over and put it down, he said you can expend 5 times the amount of energy if you triple handle it or quadruple handle a project. But if you pick it up and say, I'm only going to pick up this letter once, and then you write your letter, and it will save you sometimes hours and days if you can do a job pick up a task, single handle it, get it done, and then go on with something else. But if you pick it up, put it down, pick it up, put it down, pick it up, put it down, it can take you 5 times the amount of time to get a job done. He also says, don't work hard on unimportant things. Do first things first and do one thing at a time. So Stephen Covey says, don't work hard on unimportant tasks. Do first things first and do one thing at a time. And he says we should use the ABCDE method. Whenever we look at our daily planner and we say, what do we want to do today? A's are things that you must do today. And you put an A next to it and you want to get that done today. B's are things that you should do. C's are things that would be nice to do if you had the extra time after you've done your A's and B's. D's, delegate, things that you can pass on and delegate to other people. E, eliminate, things you can just eliminate. Then Hiram Smith and the Franklin Planner people and Brian Tracy say, once you determine for your next day, after you've written down your list and set priorities and determine what should be your A activities, B activities, C, D's, and E's, then take each of your A's and write A1, A2, A3, etc. And then your B's, B1, B2, B3, etc. And then he says, start with A1. And don't go down to A2 until A1 is done. Okay? And there's a story about the time management specialist, Ivy Lee. Some of you remember that, where I guess he came into Andrew Carnegie's office, I believe it was, and Andrew Carnegie said, can you help me be more efficient with my time? And Ivy Lee told him this secret. Prioritize everything, do A1, and don't do A1 until you do A2. And he said, just write down the 6 things you have to do the next day for your company, for your corporation. And he says, I'm not going to charge you anything, but after you've done this for a few months, then send me a check, whatever you think it's worth. Well, a few months later, Andrew Carnegie sent him a check for $25,000. I just gave it to you for free. $25,000, he said it was the most beneficial lesson he learned in time management. Do first things first, and do the top priority things, and then go down to the next one after that. Number 6, make yourself some deadlines and give yourself rewards. So deadlines and rewards. 85% of people do what they're doing because of the consequences they expect to receive from what they do. So he says, we should give yourself some rewards. If you're in sales, you have a little chocolate chip cookie right next to you, and every time you make a sales call, take a piece of chocolate chip cookie and eat it. Or have a bag of M&Ms and put them out, and every time you make a sales call, eat a couple M&Ms. So you give yourself rewards. Treat yourself like a gerbil, or treat yourself as you would to motivate yourself. Or he uses, Brian Tracy calls it the sip of coffee method. Every time you make a call, you take a sip of coffee. Okay. So also set yourself some deadlines. Some people work much better under deadlines. I know I do. If I have a deadline on something, I'll get it done usually right before the deadline. That's why it's good to have deadlines. So he said, Brian Tracy says, set deadlines, but allow yourself enough time to do it. He also says, be careful of Parkinson's law. That is, that work expands to fill the time allotted for it. You ever notice that? If you have 8 hours to do a task, you'll take 8 hours to do it. But if you have 2 hours to do a task, you'll be motivated to get that job done in 2 hours. So he says, Parkinson's law is work expands to fill the time allowed for, allotted to it. So he says, you give yourself a deadline, a time limit, and you'll be amazed that you can get much more done in that time. Number 7, keep a time log. And this means that you evaluate how you're spending your time. For example, he says if you want to lose weight, you stand on a scale and weigh yourself, and that's how you determine where you are right now. So he says if you want to find out if you're a good time manager, make a time log and write down what you do and how you spend your time each day. What time you get up, what time you get on the road, what time you come back, how are you using your time in the car, how do you use your time driving back and forth to get groceries and pick up the kids, or how much time are you spending here and there. And ask yourself, evaluated. Are you a good time manager after you keep this journal of the time log? And he says, again, the more successful you are, the more you measure your time in terms of minutes, in terms of the small amount of time period. He says the least successful people think in terms of huge open expanses of time. For example, he says the least successful people think in terms of days or weeks or months. The most successful people think in terms of minutes and hours and segments of time, a half hour here, a half hour there. It's amazing how much you can get done. For example, even if you only drive back and forth 10 minutes here, 10 minutes there, have a tape in the car. That's amazing. You can get through a couple takes a week just by little 10-minute trips, 10 minutes there. One thing I brought were these sample calendars. How many of you have any of these page-a-day calendars? These things are phenomenal. And it always takes a second, you know, to read these, but they'll give you insights, they'll give you good ideas. And I just brought a sample of 10 of the ones I have. This one, I have 35 altogether, okay? I just figured out 35 times 365 is, I think, 12,775 new ideas a person can get. I figure that's 1,000 ideas a month that you can get from these little calendars. Now, granted, some of them are far side calendars, and some of them are, you know, tips on how to play golf. But here's one, Dr. Dobson on parenting. Very good one on parenting. Napoleon Hill, quotations, Think and Grow Rich. This is good. Attend well to your character, and your reputation will look out for itself. The quote. This is a very good one. I recommend it. Anthony Robbins. This one. I think it's called Giant Steps. Mary Kay. Some of you are into Mary Kay Cosmetics. She's a great entrepreneur, and she has a lot of good insights and ideas on, for example, she talks in here about every so often you should ask yourself, what is really important to me? When you evaluate your priorities in life, chances are your career will take a back seat to your family. So just some great ideas. Stephen Covey has two out. This is 7 Habits of Highly Effective People. This is an excellent one. And he also has one on First Things First. Now, one of the secrets of these is that they all go on sale after January 1st, okay? So, you know, if you want to pay the $9.95, basically, before Christmas and before New Year's, after the New Year's, all the bookstores have them for $4.99, okay? So you can get them for $5. If you wait till February, they're 75% off for about $2.50 or $3. Now, again, the pickings might not be that good, so if you really want one, I encourage you, I buy most of mine before Christmas. Because last year I waited, and there were some really good ones that were not around because people buy them up, and then after the first of the year, they might not be around. Some of them will be around, but others won't. This is a good one on Bible trivia. Okay, whose palace had a hand that wrote on the wall? Remember that one? Belshazzar from the Old Testament. This one on the quotations from the Pope is very good. Now, I guarantee you, if you read every one of these, by the end of the year, you would have read a full book. I mean, this thing, 365 little pages, this is about, you know, a good-sized book by the end of the year. This is a good one on vocabulary. The word for today is tantamount. It's a great word, isn't it? Equivalent in value, significance, or effect, tantamount. So you can learn a word a day.
That's tantamount to reading a book.
Exactly. Tantamount to reading a book on vocabulary each year. There's another quotation from the Pope. This one is actually better. I like it because it's shorter quote. The Pope is very deep. You know, when you try to read this, especially in the morning, it's pretty tough. So, like I said, these are very good. And by the end of the year, you can have read 10 books, 30 books, 25 books, depending on how many you get. And now people say, where do you put all these? You just put them in your bathroom right around your mirror, okay? Because I guarantee you're going to be in your bathroom at least once a day, right? Sometimes twice a day, maybe more. And so you can, as your, you know, guys are shaving or girls putting on their makeup, you can just read these. It only takes a second, but it can give you some great insights and some great ideas. Okay, any questions on the whole calendar method of education? Okay. The next is number 8, avoid procrastination. Okay? And the best thing to do is to use W. Clement Stone's philosophy and keep repeating to yourself, do it now, do it now, do it now. Okay? All you have to do is keep repeating that to yourself. If you have a job to do, say do it now and go ahead and do it. If you have a call to return, do it now and go ahead and do it. Then it says, Brian Tracy says, get the reputation of getting things done quickly. It says, work with a sense of urgency. There was a study done interviewing 106 top CEOs, and it gave them 24 qualities of what they would see and what they would promote in their employees. And number one quality of what they thought was the most important quality of their employees was the ability to set priorities, to know what should be done and what shouldn't be done. And number two, get the job done quickly, get the job done fast. So the two qualities necessary for success. Work on the most important things, set priorities, and then get the job done fast. So Brian Tracy says, work with a sense of urgency. This alone, he says, will move you into the top 5% in your field. If your boss knows that he can call on you and you'll get the job done quick. Number nine, delegate. Number nine, delegate. And Brian Tracy has a whole tape on this, which I'd highly recommend. He said there are four steps to good delegation. Number one, write it down. Put in writing. Number two, pick the right person to do it. Mm-hmm. Like Jim Rohn says, don't send your ducks to Eagle School. Number three, explain it clearly to the person. And number four, check to see how things are going. So he says, delegate everything that you can. For example, he says, if you want to earn $50,000 a year, that means you have to earn, on average, $25 an hour if you're going to earn $50,000 a year. So he says you have to be making at least $25 an hour. So he says you must outsource everything that you can get somebody else to do for less than $25 an hour. So he says, again, he's talking to executives about, you know, they shouldn't be mowing their lawns, cleaning their house, washing their car, because you can get somebody to do that for less than $25 an hour. So he's saying if you want to be earning $25 an hour, somebody else has to be doing those other jobs that you can get somebody else to do. Then he's talking to high-powered salespeople and people that want to earn $50,000 a year. But he has a good point that you're going to have to earn, if you're going to make that much money, $25 an hour for 40 hours during the week. And anything that you're spending your time on that is less than $25 an hour, then you're not going to make that. You need to delegate that and get somebody else to do that. Number 10 has to do with meetings. And he said that 50% to 70% of all meeting time is a waste of time. And he says it's because people either don't have a purpose for the meeting, or they don't have an agenda for the meeting, or they don't start on time or stop on time. So he says these are three important suggestions for having good meetings. Number one, have a purpose for the meeting. Look at it as an investment. And ask yourself the question, what is the dollar value of that meeting? Let's say if you have 10 people at that meeting for 1 hour and you're paying them each $25 an hour, that meeting is costing you, how much is that costing you? 10 people at $25 an hour. Okay, so is that meeting worth that much money? So then he says, make sure, in fact, I think Jim Rohn says, don't have a $1,000 meeting to solve a $100 problem. Then he's number two, says make sure there's an agenda for the meeting. Make sure you work through the list and give everybody a copy of the agenda ahead of time if possible. And number three, start the meeting on time and stop the meeting on time. And he says, don't wait for the latecomer. He says, just start right away, and then he says that's a valuable thing to do. That's one thing I think the Legion is very effective, Legion of Mary, because they start on time and they end on time. So you know exactly when it's going to start, when it's going to stop, and they always have an agenda to work through. Okay, number 11, it has to do with dealing with interruptions. And he says the two big interruptions are the telephone and the walk-in visitor. again, he's talking to salespeople, he's talking to managers, executives, and he says, he encourages managers, executives, if they could, if they have a secretary or answer machine, have their calls held for the time that they're in meetings, so they're not being interrupted when they're doing their meetings, and have the calls held for that period of time, whether it be 2 or 3 hours, and then call people back all at one time, and recommends that. And if possible, have an answer machine and not to be a slave of the telephone. Use it as a good servant and to not let it run your life. No, then he says, as far as walk-in visitors, he says if there's somebody that just comes in and is going to spend a lot of time with you and you don't have the time at that moment, he says stand up and say, I was just leaving. Number 12 is to have key result areas. Determine what your most important tasks are. Ask yourself the question, why am I on the payroll? It's a great question. Why am I on the payroll? What results are expected of me? What are my key result areas? What results are expected of me in my job? And see, most people in business don't know why they're on the payroll. They don't know what the boss wants. And so he says, if you don't know what your boss wants of you, go ask your boss. Write up a list of everything that you do. For example, I could do that at the church. I could write up a list and write Knights of Columbus, Legion of Mary, pro-life, youth group, young adults, bowling, you know, whatever it would be, and give this to Monsignor and say, Monsignor, prioritize this for me. I haven't done it because I think I know what he wants. He wants me to go bowling. And so, you know, for me, he wants me to hear confessions, say mass, and do those things. Other things I do, great, but give the list to your boss and say, what do you want? Put A, B, C, D, E, and you'll be surprised. You'll be surprised that something you thought was a top priority for your boss might have been way down on the list. You could be working hard at something which has no value to the boss. So he's not going to be happy with you, and you'll be frustrated because you're not making him happy. As Earl Nightingale says, your customer is your boss, and you must please your boss, whether it be the Bishop of Arlington, or a pastor of a parish, or whoever you work with, the principal of your school, that is your boss. And let him say, this is number one, this is number two, this is number three. So you'll never get a raise unless you do what the boss wants. Okay, number 13 is batch your tasks. Not botch your tasks, but batch your tasks, which means do a lot of things at one time. For example, it says, the more you do a task or the same kind of task, the easier it gets. Instead of making one phone call this hour, one phone call next hour, one phone call next hour, make all your phone calls at one time because you get on a roll. And once you're on momentum, it's much easier to keep going. For example, a locomotive, when it's zooming, you know, can break through a wall. But a train that stops, you can put a little wooden block under each of those wheels, and it can't go. But the momentum will take you a long way. So make your phone calls at one time, do your correspondence all at one time, go shopping all at one time, and try to do things in the similar neighborhood. It wouldn't make sense to, in the morning, go out and go shopping over at Potomac Mills, and then, you know, the next, you know, a few hours later, go back to that same area. So he says, batch your tasks, put them in a batch, and do all your shopping at one time, all your correspondence at one time. That can be a great help. Number 14, Brian Tracy recommends neatness. And he says, first of all, clean up your work environment. He says, this will increase your productivity 25 to 40% just by being neat, orderly, and organized. So he says, first of all, clean off your desk. And he says, use the TRAF system, T-R-A-F. TRAF. T stands for toss. Like, for example, a piece of paper comes across your desk. Use the TRAF system. T is for toss it. He says that your best friend is the waste paper basket. Okay? That is your best friend. Not a dog, but the waste paper basket is your best friend. So toss it. If you don't want it, don't need it. R is for refer to somebody else. Perhaps you can give it to an employee to handle. I get this all the time. A senior goes through his mail, and then he gives some to Father Eversole, some to me, some to the secretaries. And I get the stuff on, you know, particular activities in the parish, like young adults or the activities, and Father Eversole gets the things on the altar boys and the Spanish community. So he refers it to one of us. A is take action. Put it in an action file of things that you're going to do, like a little, an action basket, because you want to take action on it. And F is file it away. File it for future reference. And he says that should be done sparingly. And he always says, ask yourself the question, what is the worst possible thing that could happen if I throw this away? It's usually not that bad. Usually you can get a copy from somebody else. So he says, if you're not using it, put it away off your desk and put it in a drawer, put it somewhere, but keep your desk neat and clean. He also says, have a neat briefcase. He makes a good point that 98% of executives would not promote a messy person. 98% of executives would not promote a messy person. Okay, number 15, try to develop chunks of time in your daily schedule for projects. Chunks of time. You're going to need at least 60 to 90 minutes for many projects, so carve it out and block out that time so you can work without interruption. Brian Tracy says you can get a whole day's work done in 3 uninterrupted solid hours. Away from the phone, away from interruptions. He recommends this might mean you might have to come into work an hour early. It might mean you can work through lunchtime from 12 to 1 when everybody else is out of the office. That could be good quiet time. And then he recommends then go to lunch at 1. There's shorter lines and you can get in and out of restaurants. Or he says stay an hour late. You can do that. He also says when you travel, that time on an airplane is so valuable. He says 1 hour on the airplane can be like working 3 hours in an office with no interruptions. Take your work with you, have your briefcase, and he recommends sitting next to a window and just keeping focused on your work. He says if you're going on a business trip, do your work on the way out. And when you're fresh, on the way back, you can sort of relax and do other things. And he says if somebody wants to talk to you, I mean, I'm a big fan of evangelizing, as you know, so I'll talk to anybody about the faith and try to get them back to confession. Remember that one time I was 5 days ordained up 35,000 miles, no, feet. 35,000 miles, that's pretty high. 35,000 feet, and this fellow asked if I was a priest. I said yes. And so he went to confession after many, many years. And so that was a neat experience. But if you're an executive and are needing that time to work on a presentation, that as soon as you land, you have to give your presentation, he says if somebody is trying to talk with you, he says this is the best one-liner to use. When they say, what do? You say, I'm a fundraiser for a religious cult. He says that will completely end the conversation, okay? Nobody will pursue that anymore because they know what's going to come next. Okay, number 16, use your transition time well. And he says, you must be, in order to get into the top 5%, you always have to be learning more. And use your transition time to do that, whether it be the time in your car. And he recommends that in your car you listen to cassette tapes. The average person spends 500 to 1,000 hours a year in their car, which is the equivalent of 12 to 25 40-hour weeks, or 3 to 6 months in their car, 1 to 2 university semesters. It equals 1 to 2 university semesters, or 3 to 6 months of education. I mean, 12 to 25, 40-hour weeks is a lot of time. So he says, use this time well. He says that in your field, knowledge of your field is doubling every 5 to 7 years, whether it be computers, which I'm sure is even faster than that. But every field, the knowledge in that field doubles 5 to 7 years. So if you're not reading 1 hour a day, you're going to fall way behind in your field. So he says, we have to be reading at least 1 hour a day from our chosen field, studying and taking notes on what we learn. And then he says, if you want to be on the side of the angels, he says, read 2 hours a day. So 1 hour a day will certainly keep you up with your field, but he recommends studying 2 hours a day. He says that use your coffee breaks well at work. He says, if somebody takes 2 coffee breaks a day at 20 minutes each, that's 40 minutes a day, that they could use that time for reading. He says he times that by 5 days a week. That equals 200 minutes a week times 50 weeks a year is 10,000 minutes or 166 hours or four 40-hour weeks. That's a whole month of time. He says this is what Ben Franklin did. Ben Franklin turned his life around by, instead of socializing with his friends at work, he would eat a very meager lunch and he would be reading during his lunch break and during his coffee break, or tea break, I guess, if he liked tea. So he says, again, Brian Tracy says, if you can, read during your lunchtime, if you don't have to meet with a client or somebody else for lunch. And again, you don't have to do this every day, but even if you did it one or two days a week, you know, just spend the time reading. He says, 1 hour a day is 250 hours a year, or 6 weeks of 40-hour weeks. That's a month and a half of time you can gain for knowledge and learning in your field. He says you should use, when you read a magazine or a newspaper, he says use the rip and read method. You know what that is? That way, if you look at a magazine and let's say there's 10 articles, go to the table of contents and say, yeah, this looks good, this looks good. Go to that page, rip it out, and put it in a file. And then carry that file with you when you travel, when you're at the doctor's office, dentist's office, and use it in your transition time on an airplane. Use the rip and read method. It's amazing how much you can get done. He says, use these gifts of time because they're very precious. Number 17, it has to do with the telephone. And he says that you must see the telephone at work as a business tool, not as a socializing tool. He says, get off and on as fast as you can. And he says, you know, some things you could ask somebody if they call, what can I do for you? How can I help you? He says, see it as a meeting by wire. And he says, if you're going to make a phone call, have a phone agenda. Jim Rohn was saying this on one of his tapes, that he deals a lot with international calls. And he said, one month, his phone bill from his office was $30,000 for 1 month. And he sat down his people and said, you know, these calls are, you know, calling Australia, New Zealand, and Hong Kong, that's adding up. He says, what I want you to do now is to have a phone agenda, and don't make a phone call unless you have an agenda. And write down what you want to cover, get off and on fast. And he dramatically lowered his phone bill for that month. He also says, when you're talking with somebody, make good notes, keep good notes. That's the value of the Franklin Planner or some planner. On the one side, you have your prioritized daily task list, schedule of events. On the other side, you have a whole blank page for a journal. Write down your meeting agendas, your phone agendas, what you want to cover. And he says, take good notes. Brian Tracy and many other fellows have said it's actually saved them money because they'll be quoted the price for a new car, and then, you know, they'll have a date, and they'll go and try to get the car, and the manager won't be there, but somebody else will be there. And they quote a higher price than what was quoted to him. He says, well, you know, I wrote it down, and so it's been able to be very valuable if you take good notes. Brian Tracy says, the power is on the side of the person with the best notes. He says, never answer the phone without a pen in your hand and paper nearby. Number 18 is punctuality. He says, get a reputation for being on time. He says, if you're not early, you're late. He says, there's only 1 minute of time that you can be there where you're actually on time. Isn't that interesting? There's only 1 minute of a time factor that you can actually be on time. Mm-hmm. Maybe either early, or if you're 1 minute after that, then late. Mm-hmm. So he says, try to get there early. And he says, only 5% of the population is punctual. And punctual people, he says, are seen as more competent, intelligent, likely to be promoted, reliable, and dependable. And he says, late, and I'm not referring to any of you that came late, because I know that many of you had other jobs and commitments. I'm not talking about you. I'm more guilty of this than anybody. But late people are seen as unreliable, sloppy, poor time managers, and undisciplined. And okay, number 19, try to simplify your work. He says, in the old days, you know, 50% of the farmers of our country fed the other 50% of our population. Today, because of technology, 3% of the population is feeding 97% of our country, as well as half the world. So he says, do things that will help you be more efficient in your time management. For example, that could be working longer hours or working faster or doing fewer but more important things, or doing things that you're better at, making fewer mistakes, doing things with a team. These are just some suggestions. He says, working longer hours, working faster, doing fewer but more important things, doing things you're better at, making fewer mistakes, and doing things with a team. Remember the story of the Belgium horse, that if a person does things by themselves, they only get done a fraction of what you can do if you're working with somebody else. And, for example, I think your tape thing went off there. So, for example, the Belgium horse can pull, I believe it's like 8,000 pounds of weight, but harnessed together with another horse in training, they can pull 30,000 pounds. Isn't that amazing? By themselves, 8,000 with another 30,000. So you can get a lot more done if you're working with a team. That's why prayer groups are so important, and apostolates, and mastermind groups, which we'll talk about hopefully in a few minutes. Okay, number 20 is learn to say no, which is sometimes tough. And he says, say no to anything that doesn't lead you towards your goals. If you're not sure about a particular thing people are asking you to do, say, well, let me think about it. I can't make a decision right now. I'll get back to you. And he says, learn the Nancy Reagan method of time management. Just say no. So that's really the best thing to do if it's something that's not going to lead you closer to your goals or closer to God or whatever, you're closer, you know, more family time. Number 21, he says, live a life in balance. Live a life in balance. And he says, why should you even try to improve your time management? It says so that you can improve the quality of your life by spending more time with your family, developing good relationships, spending time with those you love, bringing about greater peace of mind, and having good health. So he says, manage your time so that you can do the things you want to do, when you want to do them, and with who you want to be with. So manage your time so you can do the things you want to do with whom you want to do them. So he says, in summary, he says, A, the essence of success is setting goals. B, having an organized plan of action. So goals first and a plan of action second. C, prioritize, set priorities. D, ask yourself what is the most valuable use of your time. E, work hard and persevere. And F, he says, work with a sense of urgency. Because do something every day to move yourself towards your goals. So those are Brian Tracy's suggestions on good time management.